What is happening, good people? This is Keith, and I'm here to get you high on sports. Let's go. So this is Keith. I am here to get you high on sports. It is another fantastic NFL week that has gone by way too quick. I cannot believe we're this close to Thanksgiving. As Tom Brady always says, the season starts after Thanksgiving, or as a Bear fan, the season has been well over well before Halloween. Just another disappointing performance from the Bear. I get it. Win's a win. Lost four in a row. Should have won at least two of those games. They didn't. Their season's over. It's been over since the first week of the year. And it was proven Mitchell Trubisky is not an NFL quarterback. Now, he may still be one of the top 64 people in the world who has the first or second overall quarterback battle on an NFL team. He still may be one of those guys. But what is very, very clear is that Mitchell Trubisky will never be a top NFL quarterback, an average NFL quarterback, and even mediocre NFL starting quarterback. What he has the opportunity to be is a very solid backup quarterback for the remainder of his career. And it's weird. Going through the tape of Mitch this past week, what's really odd to me about this year is I would really like to understand what was discussed, what was put into his head, what he worked on, where he tried to take the next step. Because over and over, what I just do not understand at any point is that it looks like he wants to be Eli Manning. It's like he was told to be Alex Smith. Sit in the pocket, diagnose the defense, get the ball out. But he's terrible at that. He's really, really bad. And what's very frustrating about Mitchell Trubisky, and here's what I said even going into this year, after watching tape of his rookie year, which to me was just a wasted year on a coaching staff that was out of the whole world knew was done as soon as week 17 ended in 2017. But if you go back and watch Mitch, what's frustrating is that he is better when he escapes the pocket. Either designed rollouts or bootlegs or when he escapes the pocket, he's better. But he's still, if you can think of any plays, Bear fans, any plays where the guy has made a play using his feet, a la, say, Donovan McNabb. Right? Donovan McNabb, to me, seemed to be the first guy in my memory in his prime who was awesome at using his legs to make throws. He was kind of my first taste of that guy. Not just a scrambler, not just an amazing athlete like Michael Vick was or Vince Young. Aaron Rodgers is even a little bit different to me because Aaron Rodgers really looks to wade around in the pocket. You know, what McNabb did was he would look like he was going to scramble like a traditionally running quarterback, and he had that in him. But at the last minute, he'd pull it down and he could rifle it 15, 20 yards downfield and have an open receiver who had broke coverage at that point. And then you would turn a 15-yard gain into a 40-yard gain. And that's what is missing from Mitchell Trubisky and always has been. If you go back, think of anything even in your mind right now. If you have all 22, I highly recommend you go and watch tape. It'll increase your fan experience, I promise you that. It may make you hate football. All 22 has legitimately made me hate football. It has sucked the joy out of it. I've got a full-time job. I wish my full-time job could be to just watch all 22, watch NFL tape on all of the 32 NFL teams, watch NFL tape of college teams. I just love football. I love to watch it. I love it as a technician. But for the sake of this podcast, for the sake of time, as a dad with two small kids, I don't have the time to do that. If my full-time gig was that, great. That's what I would do all day. I don't have the time. So mostly I just watch Bears. I may watch recap of two or three other games, or I may want to do a deep dive And to Baker Mayfield, why is he so bad? Jared Goff, why is he so bad? So I may take some of those as like extra credit, but mainly I'm watching the Bears. And when I watch Mitchell Trubisky, what sucks so bad is that he looks like he should be a dude who should excel in this league. He's athletic. He's got a big arm. He's 6'2", 220. But for whatever reason, he is a deer in headlights back there. I don't understand it. I don't know if it's the pressure of the Bears quarterback situation just continuously being awful. I don't know if it's just a guy who just never was made, just doesn't have the talent or feel to be a good NFL quarterback. I don't know what the answers are, because to me, it looked like he improved last year. It looked like he legitimately improved within the offense last year. And he was bad in the first half in the playoff game, but he was really good in the second half of the playoff game, and he was really good against the Vikings in week 17. And that was just a clear ascent up. But I don't know what happened to him. And what's really strange about Mitch this year is when he escapes the pocket, which he's not good at, by the way. He's always running backward, which is just a recipe for disaster. I don't understand still to this day, with all of the coaching prowess, with all of the tape and all of the study and all the sports science, you can legitimately see the percentage of time whenever a quarterback gets in trouble, when their first step is back and not forward, not stepping up in the pocket, the success rate must be somewhere around like 12% when you step backward. More than likely, the sack rate to me goes up from whatever the national, whatever the average is in the National Football League. It allows the defensive lineman to peel off of the offensive tackle and find a mesh point at the quarterback. Like, you are taught as an offensive tackle to wheel the defensive end behind the quarterback. So when they step backwards, which I get, look, I'm not underestimating the difficulty of being an NFL quarterback. I'm not underestimating it on any level. It's extremely difficult. But I just can't imagine. And maybe that's just it. Maybe that's just the difference. The guys that can hang in the pocket, have a feel for the pocket, can step up, move around, negotiate the pocket, reset the pocket, and then fire and deliver strikes to where they know their guys will be. Maybe those are just the rarest of rare breeds. And at any given time, even in this age of NFL football, when passing is king, at any given time, you might have 8 to 10 of those guys on the planet. And maybe that's just what it is. And the expectations are just ludicrous for franchises to think that all 32 teams should have a guy like that. Because I, in my entire 30 years of watching football, I felt like 2018, especially 2019, because 5 teams took quarterbacks in the first round in 18. In 2019, I felt like for the first time maybe ever, all 32 franchises, or close to all 32 franchises, had their guy. Right? Usually it's like 20 out of the 32, maybe 22. This time felt like 28, 29, 30 of the franchises, like everyone except the Dolphins going in, and possibly the Bengals, knowing Andy Dalton's time was just done. They missed their window. But for the first time in a long time, it felt like every NFL franchise either had their guy or thought they'd have their guy in the next year or two, a la Daniel Jones, Kyler Murray, and Haskins on the Redskins. So for me, maybe my expectations are just too high of the quarterback position. But what's so frustrating with Mitch, and same with Jay Cutler, being a Bear fan, now watching Jay into Mitch, both of those guys seem like they should be legitimately top 15 quarterbacks every single year. Give your team a chance to make the playoffs every single year, and then it's on the GM to build the rest around them. Because even great quarterbacks, which is what every NFL franchise needs to start with, you have to identify, draft, and get your great quarterback. Second is the head coach. And you could probably even make an argument head coach might be first. I would probably still take the quarterback, because in the chicken of the egg experiment, riddle me this. Do you really feel like no Tom Brady on the Patriots? And just if Mitchell Trubisky was on the Patriots with Bill Belichick, that if just swap positions, I still feel like the Bears would be a Super Bowl contender over the Patriots. So to me, that's still, and people can argue that back and forth. I still would want the quarterback first. Having the head coach is absolutely 1B. It really is. It's a coaching league. Coaches, the great ones, they are going to get 5-6 wins just by them being awesome, having a great game plan, executing it, knowing your players' strengths, putting them in their positions to succeed. Like, an NFL coach has, to me, way more weight than any other professional coach in any other sport. Like, I think the greatest manager in baseball is worth, like, 5 wins, maybe worth 1 playoff win. The greatest coach in basketball, to me, is maybe worth 10 wins. Maybe worth 10 wins. That's probably going a little too far. In football, though, it's worth, like, a third of your season having a great coach. Sean Payton, having Teddy Bridgewater and going 5-0 in that stretch, is why great coaching is so important. He knew what to do with his backup quarterback and to put his other players in a position to succeed. Not every coach can do that. I'm watching Matt Nagy, who I have a lot of admiration for. I really, really, really feel like the Bears got their guy at the head coaching position, but I'm watching him struggle. He has had a terrible 2019, where everything seemed to go right in 2018. Matt Nagy has been exposed in 2019. And if things don't clean up, Pace, Nagy, and Mitch will all be gone after next year. I'll be shocked if Mitchell Trubisky's the starting quarterback next year. I really will. Because at that point, I cannot imagine Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy facing another year with Mitch Trubisky and them not making the playoffs. I just can't imagine it. When the Bears don't make the playoffs this year, panic will ensue, and there's going to be a pretty nice crop of free agent quarterbacks who can be, you can be average. And so what you do then is then you try to draft a guy. If he's still there for you in the second round, say a Jalen Hurts or a Jake Fromm, and you have him back up Ryan Tannehill or Marcus Mariota or Teddy Bridgewater. You have them, you draft one and you sign one. That's what you're really going to do. And this year's crop seems to be pretty good where you can do that. Because what's clear is that Mitchell Trubisky is not going to take enough steps over the next 7 games. Even if they miss the playoffs, I do not see Mitch taking that step where he can cement himself as the Bears quarterback for the next year or two. Because look, he's essentially in a contract here. He's essentially in a contract year. The Bears more than likely will pick up his 5th-year option if for any reason to trade, to at least dangle a trade out there for maybe a 4th or a 5th round pick. Someone takes a flyer, you know, maybe like the Chargers or something. They see the writing on the wall with Phillip and they can get Mitch in there for a 5th round pick and maybe try to develop him, have him work with Phillip Rivers, something like that. I don't know, but I would pick up the 5th round option to at least have that, at least not signal to the entire NFL this guy's a complete bust and a wasted asset. Crazier things have happened, let me tell you. The Bears traded 2 first round picks for Rick Meyer when the rest of the league was like, that dude can't play, even though he was the 2nd overall pick. So for me, what's really frustrating, and I'm sure these are the best of the best, I'm just some government bureaucrat who loves to talk and watch football, who can talk football, fantasy football, all day, every day, until I pass from this earth. But my day job is a government bureaucrat. My night job's essentially being a dad. So whatever time I can fit in to get on this podcast, have a little fun with anyone who's willing to give me a listen, which I love, by the way. Thank you, good people. Love you, people. But it just amazes me because for 10 hours every day, I'm becoming better at my job. And I can't imagine after years and years and years of coaching and development and everything we know about the quarterback position, that they are not teaching Mitch Trubisky and other young quarterbacks who are struggling or who have struggled some of the absolute basics. And to me, one of the absolute basics, and maybe this is just something that can't be taught. Maybe it's like trying to say, you know, Keith, you got to turn Otto Porter into LeBron James. You know, why can't Otto Porter just go be LeBron James? They got the same height, you know? Maybe it's just you got it or you don't. And it's just an instinctual thing with a quarterback. But the first thing I would teach them is to not step backward out of the pocket. I am dead serious. Is there not a drill where they can just whip them in the calf with a broomstick? Any single time you rush two guys right at their face who kind of split them on the left and right, that's the drill I do. Like, I swear to God, that's the drill I do. You make the quarterback do push-ups. Flip the script on this bitch. If they step outside of the pocket and go backward, the entire team has to do up-downs. Has to run the length of the practice field. Whatever punishment you deem necessary. But to me, like, that's the first one. So starting there. The second one is when Mitch starts to run, he's never looking downfield. He tucks it, and he's not running straight anymore. He's not even using his legs when he just, oh, it's not there. Boom, 10 yards, 12 yards, 15 yards. He's not doing that. The first time I've seen him do it all year is the last play in the Chargers game when he finally ran for like 15 yards and set up that what should have been a game-winning field goal. And I don't get it. And the only other great play, well, there's two of them. The only other great play that I can picture led to the Denver Broncos game-winning field goal when he stepped back in the pocket. Then, lo and behold, he ran forward in the pocket. And he made a 25-yard dart through a 25-yard. It was beautiful. It was like, dude, I would run that over and over and over until he sees the genius of that. The only other play I can think of this year where he did something special was that Taylor Gabriel touchdown against Washington. But he kind of drifted to his left, came back right, and just threw an absolute dime to the corner of the end zone. Perfect in stride to Taylor Gabriel. And that's what's maddening about Mitch and why I think he will be a very good backup quarterback, because he's inconsistent. And a great backup quarterback is supposed to win you half the games that they fill in for the starter for. So if they fill in for two games, 1-1 is what you should expect out of a very good backup quarterback. Dead serious. Like, that's the expectation. Teddy Bridgewater, to me, is a starter in the NFL, which is why he was able to go 5-0 on a really good team, a well-coached team with a great offensive line, really good Hall of Fame-type weapons, and a super solid defense. Teddy Bridgewater can do that, and I think that's why everyone wants Teddy. And I wouldn't mind seeing Teddy. I really wouldn't. I wouldn't mind seeing Teddy at all. I still have a lot of concerns about him being great or special, but I think the Bears have enough talent. I truly, truly do. I think they have enough talent with a Teddy Bridgewater type of guy to compete over the next 2 or 3 years. I really do. That's an awesome defense, man. They've taken a step back. It's been extremely frustrating, but they're missing one of their key pieces, Akeem Hicks. And he has proven his worth through and through. He has absolutely proven his worth because guys have been able to just eliminate Khalil Mack. The Akeem Hicks injury has shown a lot of different things for this Bears team. First of all, he is 1B in a matter of importance on this defense. It's Khalil Mack first, Akeem Hicks second. I'd say Eddie Jackson third, Kyle Fuller fourth, Roquan Smith fifth. But it's 1A and 1B to me. Akeem Hicks is that good, clearly, because Khalil Mack has not been the same dude. He's not getting as many one-on-one opportunities. When he is, he's not getting home. And it really has exposed Leo Floyd for being a complete bust out. He's a washout. He's a guy who is, you know, all sizzle, no steak, man. Right? All foam, no beer. That's Leo Floyd. He looks like he should be a dominating defensive end, and he's just not. He's just not. He can be solid. He's solid. When I watch him, I am really impressed by how well he plays the run for being such a slim dude. He holds his point. He just cannot get around defensive tackles. He reminds me of Alonzo Spellman, who used to just beat his offensive tackle, and he'd go flying past the quarterback. Like, Leo Floyd is like 12 yards upfield, right where the offensive tackle wants him. So, yeah, he's fast, and he can beat him off, but, you know, he can't figure out again, maybe that's a feel thing, or hasn't learned the moves, or isn't good enough with his arms. But you would think with that long reach, Leonard Floyd should be able to get more pressures, more hits, more sacks, and he just hasn't, and he's been exposed. And so this Bears defense is still really, really good. So if you get somebody like a Teddy Bridgewater, Ryan Tannehill, I think, would be a step above Mitch, a step down from Teddy, and all three of those guys are many steps down from what you actually want, which is like, you know, Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Tom Brady, you know, we know that Russell Wilson, we know the list. Patrick Mahomes, clearly. So when watching Mitch and really breaking him down, that's the first thing for me, is that he steps back into the pocket. The second thing for me is when he does finally, when he finally breaks the pocket, he's not looking to throw. There was like four times in that Detroit game he could have made some really nice little dump offs, and he's already corralling the football, becoming a running back for a 2-yard loss. And that to me is super frustrating. Even watching Gardner Minshew on about five plays this year, it looked like he should have been sacked in the pocket. He roamed around a little bit, kept his eyes up, or he lifted his head just in time to find a receiver and then hit him down the field. Like, that's what they wanted Mitch to be. That's who Mitch is. Or at least that's what they thought they were getting. I don't get all of a sudden why he has put cement boots on his cleats. I don't get it. He just hangs in the pocket, and he doesn't have a feel for that. At this point, as a 25-year-old struggling quarterback who, you know, look, I don't want to be cruel. I don't want to get into IQ stuff. He just doesn't seem very bright. Just doesn't seem like the most bright kid. You know, seems like a really good guy. Really, really good guy. And I might be dead off. He might be a genius. He just doesn't seem like the brightest candle on the Christmas tree. You know what I'm saying? Doesn't seem like the brightest bulb on the birthday cake. And so the third thing with Mitchell Trubisky, and this just drives me effing bonkers on this one, is not only does he drop back too much and he finds a mesh point for the two defensive ends rushing, not only does when he start to make his move, he tucks it too soon and hops around and doesn't look to make a play downfield, but the worst thing that's happening to Mitch is that he is holding on to the football. He's holding on. The West Coast offense, by design, is supposed to get the ball out of your hands quick, in stride, where guys are able then to make a play with their legs. That's what the West Coast offense is designed to do. It is supposed to be a short passing game that sets up the run game, quick decisions, ball out of your hand fast, and let the playmakers make plays. And that is something Mitchell Trubisky just can't do. He just can't do it. And it's super frustrating. Super frustrating. Because at this point, now second year in the system, he should know these things. There is like three plays, and I'm not talking the five plays where he danced around and didn't look downfield, didn't look the dump off. There was like three times he took a sack against the Lions, who are one of the worst pass defenses in the NFL. Because, yes, they've had injuries in the secondary, but also because they don't rush the passer very well. And Mitch hung on to the ball. It's just like, dude, that's not the offense. I'm sorry, this is not Mike McCarthy. Just three guys go out, get open, and Aaron will find you. That's not what Nagy wants. That's not what they're coached to do. They're not good at that. Clearly, they're not good at it. They're not good at the scramble drill. Either they're not getting open or Mitch can't hit them. And so forget the inaccuracies. Forget staring down receivers. That's number 4 and 5 to me. The three biggest things Mitch needs to work on, and this is why at this point I don't see anything special there, because he should be so much further along in just those basic understandings of the quarterback position. You don't run backwards when the pressure comes. You step up in the pocket. If you're athletic like Mitch and you get outside the pocket, you need to be getting outside to look to make plays downfield. He looks to make little hoppy plays for 2-3 yards or for 1-2-3 yard losses. And the worst of all worst is he holds onto the ball too long. That to me is Darren Headlight shit. That to me drives me the most bonkers of any bad quarterback play. It's the holding onto the ball too long. There needs to be a clock in your head. It's like I tell coworkers, right? Needs to be a clock in your head on when this conversation has come to a fucking close, man. And then it's time for you to leave my queue. There needs to be a clock in your head, like an NFL quarterback. I tell them that. You like sports? You know about football? Like a clock in your head. This conversation has hit 9 minutes, and it's done. It's time for you to move on now. Right? Same with Mitchell Trubisky. The clock in your head has hit 4 seconds. It's time for you to throw the ball away, run as fast as you can forward, or find a guy. Because at that point, you're going to get demolished, and it's all going to be on you. It's all going to be on you. I think the Bears have had something like 25, 26 sacks given up this year. I believe strongly, and I don't think the Bears have the greatest offensive line. I don't think it's horrible. I've seen way, 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 way worse offensive lines, trust me, on the Bears teams over the years. This offensive line's not terrible. Not great. Not great. It's average. It's like 18th overall. How about that? 18th overall. But there are plays to be made, and Mitchell Trubisky is holding on to the fucking ball. And it's just super frustrating. Because it's just like, dude, you're not good at that. That's not your strength at all on any level. And to me, everyone wants to blame Nagy, and there is some blame there. The play calling's been bad, but he's not getting to run his offense. People have to remember, the last taste in their mouth from Matt Nagy in Kansas City was that game against the Titans, where he got pass heavy in the second half when they were up 18 or whatever and they blew the lead. But Alex Smith, was a legitimate MVP candidate that last year. Because by year three, at that point in that system, they could fully run the offense. They had Travis Kelce. They were able to draft and develop the guys they needed in that offense. They had Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, Kareem Hunt. And they had Alex Smith fully operating that system. If you go back and watch tape of Alex Smith, which I have, you can see exactly what Nagy wants to do. You use the short passing game to set up the run, and then you look for about 3 to 5 shots a game. That's it, man. Like, that's the NFL. That's the NFL in 2019. It's figure out the defense, suck them in, and then boom, take your shot for chunk explosive plays. Those are the winning teams. Those are the winning teams, my friends. Those are the Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees. You hit them for 3. You hit them for 4. You hit them for 9. You run it for 5. You run it for 6. You hit them for 3. Boom, you hit them for 50. That's the NFL. That's how it's played. That's what Andy Reid's doing. Now, look, they have superior talent all across the board. Better offensive line. Probably the best tight end in football. The best speed receiver in football. The running backs aren't very good, but one of the best play manipulators the NFL's ever seen in Andy Reid. And obviously Patrick Mahomes is a once-in-a-generation talent. And they're still 6-4, so the NFL's weird and crazy and all the rest of it, so whatever. But they have superior talent, I get it, but that's what we're trying to do. That's what Joe Montana did when this whole thing was created. That's what he did. It wasn't all deep shots. You lull them to sleep. You're efficient. You're effective. You get the ball in so many different guys' hands, the defense starts spinning their wheels. They're dizzy. They don't know what to defend next. And next thing you know, boom, it's Jerry Rice for a deep slant, 40, 50, 60-yard touchdown. That's what it is. And Mitch just can't figure out the basics. Just can't read and figure out the basics. And if you can't do that, you need to know your strengths. You led the league in quarterback rushing last year until you got hurt against the Vikings. Until Harrison Smith hurt your shoulder, which, by the way, I think broke Mitch on a lot of different levels. I really, really do. That's a whole other story. But to me, it's player strengths. And I know Nagy's frustrated. I know he's frustrated. This is not what he imagined in year two. And they've done a piss poor job, in my opinion, the Bears, of surrounding Mitch with more talent. Allen Robinson's really good. Anthony Miller's a bust. Taylor Gabriel he's okay. You know, he's okay in that spot. He's nothing special. He's inconsistent. He's going to drop 2-3 balls a game, seemingly. Tariq Cohen is a super frustrating dude because there's a ton of talent there to be like the Darren Sproles of the offense, but he's just not good enough. He doesn't run forward. He's a magnet to the sideline. He seems like a space cadet, unaware. They just don't have the talent. In the tight end position, I think, seriously, dead serious, I believe the Bears have the worst tight end group in the entire NFL. And the West Coast offense always has utilized the tight end position perfectly in that offense. Because you've got to utilize the middle of the field. You got to utilize seam routes. You got to utilize the drag routes. And so Mitchell Trubisky, to me, he is what he is at this point. To me, I think he'd be an upper echelon backup. Like, if you're ranking out of the 64 quarterbacks in the NFL, I don't count third stringers, the 64 legit quarterbacks, you know, to me, he's somewhere like 45th, 46th, 47th, somewhere in there. So clearly he was a bust. It doesn't work out, all right? It was one of the biggest blunders in NFL history. Not because a number two overall pick was a bust, but because Ryan Pace also then gave up three more assets to move up one spot to draft the worst of the three quarterbacks in that draft. It is going to go down as one of the biggest draft blunders in NFL history. It really will. I know the Bears got to the playoffs. I'm not saying it was anything close to Jamarcus Russell bad or to Ryan Leaf bad, but it is that close. Ryan Clark was right. He took a lot of heat, but he was right. Because here's the difference. Those teams just stayed bad. So a great quarterback elevates bad to good, good to great, great to Super Bowl winners. Like, that's what great quarterbacks do. Bad quarterbacks sink an entire franchise, right? What Mitch was in 2018 was an average quarterback, and that allowed the talent on the Bears, who were facing a last-place schedule, to make a 12-4 run. So they just had more talent than that Raiders team or the Chargers team. He is as big of a bust, though, as those two guys or Achilles Smith or Tim Couch or, you know, name any of the other top five quarterback drafted dudes who have just been absolute failures. Mitchell Trubisky is that. He is that. But what he also is going to be a guy that you'll see with a clipboard and a headset for the next 12 years in the NFL. He will 100% be that guy because he's a good leader. He wants to be a leader. He's got the intangibles, right? People like him. He's Stuart Smalley. So he is going to be that, but that's the final determination on Mitch. So he's better than Chase Daniel, right? Although I think Daniel can run this offense a little bit. He's severely limited, Chase Daniel. Severely limited. He can barely move in the pocket. He's short. He doesn't see everything. He's going to make one or two terrible throws during a football game. That's the surprising thing to Mitch. He doesn't throw a lot of picks. He really doesn't. He doesn't throw a lot of picks. He can't take the deep strikes. He doesn't have any back-breaking plays. There's zero special there, but he doesn't throw a lot of picks. Now, sometimes, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's a screwball release or something that they drop his interceptions. But overall, he doesn't throw a lot of picks. He really, really doesn't. So I think he's a step up from Chase Daniel. You know, I put Chase Daniel like number 50 overall, and Mitch is probably like, I don't know, let's call it 46th. So the Bears have the 46th and the 50th best quarterbacks on the planet. That's where we're at. So I don't see a lot of great happening out of this Bears team. Their defense is not what it was last year. It's not going to be able to carry them. I think it's going to get fairly sideways against the Rams. Because of the state of the offense, because the defense is average, I could see that one getting out of hand. I don't know if it's going to get Saints bad, but I think it's going to get pretty bad. If the Bears defense can't make a play or two on Jared Goffel and that terrible offensive line, I think it's going to get sideways pretty quick because that defense is still good enough to give Mitchell Trubisky on the road on in a Sunday night game, it's going to give him absolute fits. I see him just having a disastrous game. Like, I think this one might be the nail in the coffin on a 4-6 season where you just roll Chase out there and you just say, you know what, the hell with it. Chase ain't going to be here next year. Mitch probably still will be, unless we can pull off some miraculous fifth-round trade for him. I would just bench Mitch, call it the left shoulder inflammation or whatever the hell, for the remainder of the season. But at 4-6, your season's done, right? And I'm sure it's going to get sideways on Sunday. So that's the way that it shouldn't. This should be a type of game the Bears last year, absolutely, I would think, having a wounded opponent in the Rams, that they should have taken care of business. But I feel like this one gets sideways. I got it something like, let's call it 28-10, maybe 31-13, something like that. I just have a really, really bad feeling that the Rams were absolutely embarrassed in Pittsburgh. That was a game they should have won. They've got more talent. But Jared Goff was just so atrocious. That offensive line is just so atrocious. He, by the way, is another guy. The Rams, in my opinion, when it comes to the quarterback position, in a worse spot than the Bears. Because here's the thing, and this is what I don't get. We've seen now Gardner Minshew III come in and play fairly well. A sixth-round rookie. A sixth-round rookie. So I don't get the philosophy on a loaded Bears defense that should get back to being a top five defense next year. I don't get the philosophy of not trying to find a Jalen Hurts in the second round. He cannot be worse than Mitch at this point. You run it back on the rookie contract, and you're hoping for the Super Bowl window in 2021-2022. Like, that's the reality of the situation, right? Like, I don't see paying Teddy Bridgewater $30 million, which means you can't pay two or three other guys. I don't know if that's going to be the right move for the Bears. I don't know. I don't see him getting you to the promised land either. Like, that's what I'm saying. If the right guy is there in the second round, and that's the key. Like, you can't just scramble and try to get Jacob Eason or Jordan Love or, you know, a guy who's a third, fourth, fifth round prospect. But if Jake Fromm or Jalen Hurts are available at your pick in the second round, which they probably won't be, but if they are, I don't see how that's worse than Mitchell Trubisky. You run it back on a rookie contract, you pay some other guys, you bring in a free agent or two, improve the offensive line, try to find a professional tight end. And I think you can make a few other decent moves. So it's going to be fascinating. But I will say this. This 1,000% is the crossroads of the Bears season. A Bears season, to me, not making the playoffs. Only way possible is that they were going to have to win 8 games in a row. That ain't going to happen. Wouldn't happen if you're a great team. Saw the Saints just lose to the Falcons. Right? You know how hard it is to win in the NFL? Especially when you're mediocre and have a terrible quarterback. You know how hard it is to win in the NFL? It's extremely difficult, nearly impossible, to go out and win 8 games. Their schedule's just too brutal.
To make up for the disappointments that you had earlier in the season with, namely, the Raiders and the Charger games. So there's just no way they're going on an 8-0 run and going to go from 3-5 to 11-5, and Matt Nagy's dream of when he was on the Kansas City Chiefs and they were 1-5 and won 11 in a row. It's just not going to happen. I'm sorry. I would love it. I'm a Bear fan. I love it. I root for wins. Like, everyone was so frustrated over the whole thing on the Chargers, and of course I was too. But at the end of the day, the kick should have been made, and I'll take the win. Like, at the end of the day, I'll take this Lions win. It's just the fact that Mitch still looked so bad. And on like the first 4 or 5 drives, he looked just awful. Now, he had 3 beautiful throws. The first touchdown to Broniker before the half, coming out after the half. And, you know, he had that throw to Allen Robinson down the left sideline. He had 3 really, really nice throws. And so he did what he had to do against a terrible, beat-up Lions team. And he did what he had to do at that point. to snatch a W after a four-game losing streak. So I'll take any win ever. And I've already stated my philosophy on losing in the NFL. Unless you are just going to be the Cincinnati Bengals, which is a new concept, by the way, this complete tanking. Unless you are guaranteed the first pick when Peyton Manning or Andrew Luck are there, or Trevor Lawrence, right? He's going to be one of the better prospects that we see. He's going to go first overall in 2021. I just can't see any way around that. Like, he definitely is that good. That guy's awesome. So the Bears aren't going on a run. They are what they are at this point. And to me, when you go into next year, that's how I would play it. I would absolutely try to find the next great quarterback. I think that could be Jalen Hurts over Jake Fromm. I see Hurts as a Deshaun Watson light. That's the kind of dude that I see for Jalen Hurts. I think he's going to have a chip on his shoulder going from Alabama to Oklahoma. I don't think he's great. I have not seen any kind of greatness from Jalen Hurts to emulate Patrick Mahomes or Deshaun Watson or even Lamar Jackson. I just haven't seen that kind of greatness, but I feel like for where the Bears are, a realistic chance, because you're not going to be able to get Burrow or Tua or Justin Herbert. So it's either Fromm or Hurts. Jake Fromm reminds me a lot of Derek Carr. You know, he'll be a smart quarterback, a guy that played 30-some games on a really good team, a really good Georgia team that's well-coached, so he's going to have a lot of those intangibles. He's just not the greatest athlete. He doesn't move well. He doesn't have the greatest arm. Reminds me a lot of Derek Carr. A lot of Derek Carr. So, this is where we're at in the Bears season. I think this one can get sideways, although the Bears, they should compete with the Rams. Like, they match up well with this Rams team at this point. No Brandon Cooks. They're beat up. Their offensive line's terrible. Jared Goff is awful. He's in an awful slump. He's been figured out since the Bears broke him last year on a Sunday night game. Like, this is the type of game the Bears can win. I just see it going sideways. I just see the defense being a force at home. Mitch is so bad. They're going to get in his face. Clay Matthews and Aaron Donald and the rest of them are going to get in his face. And I really do feel like this game is going to be the end of the Mitchell Trubisky show in Chicago. I think this is going to solidify it. And I'm sad. I'm sad going into it. It would be a pleasant surprise if they pull it off. I just don't see it. So that's my take, good people. That's my take after all this time. I'm so sick of blasting the Bears. I really, really wanted to get out here and do a positive show after a victory, but it was just another frustrating game. Another frustrating game with so many missed opportunities. So, I mean, like, seriously, an average quarterback would have won that game by 3-4 touchdowns. I am dead serious. Mitch missed guys constantly, and I'm not talking on throws. I'm talking about on reads. I mean, there are 3 or 4 clear plays that I can think of where he just missed guys. I don't know what he was looking at. I don't know what he was going through. I would love the opportunity, and I'll never get it. None of us will, but I'd love the opportunity to sit in a quarterback room with Nagy and Mitch and Helfrich and Ragone and just, what were you seeing? What were you, here's the read. What did you miss here? What were you thinking? Where were you going pre-snap? Like, I'd love to walk through that, right? And it's got to be the strangest thing as coaches, because they know this is their entire life, right? This is their entire life. They see the film, they break down the film, they know exactly what went right, what went wrong, and how do we go forward and adjust from here. And then at the same time, the quarterbacks know too. You think, you know, say what you want about Mitch. He knows. He knows. He's been watching this shit for 5 years on a fairly professional level, right? He knows when he misses guys. I just love to understand the thought process on a Sunday evening or a Monday after that Detroit game. But I won't get it, so we have to surmise what the play actually called for, and all we have is the all-22. which is a step up from 20 years ago, and I couldn't go back. It was just a loss is a loss and whatever. Win's a win and whatever. But this is where we are, Bears fans. And it's frustrating. It's frustrating because the defense has not been dominant either. The defense has been very, very average. I'd go so far to say bad. Beginning after that Vikings game, like, they were really good for the first month. The last 4 weeks, they were terrible. Just terrible. Oakland, Saints, Chargers, Philadelphia, the Bears defense was just straight up bad. And they weren't that great against Detroit. They allowed a backup quarterback to go up and down the field. And if it weren't for him being a backup, Stafford would have won that game. I think that's the frustration. A really, really bad Detroit, beat up Detroit team at this point, and Stafford would have won that game. There's no doubt in my mind. No doubt. One or two of those field goal type drives, he would have punched it in. No doubt in my mind. So I hope for the best. I'm thinking it could be the worst. I pray that I'm wrong, and I pray for each and every one of you out there who are listening, who enjoy the show. I love talking sports, love talking Bears, love giving the breakdown, love giving the analysis. So thank you to each and every one of my listeners out there. It's so much fun. Hit me up anytime, Keith at KeithDevore.com, or I'm on Twitter, HighOnSports28. At HighOnSports28, find me anytime, direct message me, follow me. Got sports stuff, Bears stuff going out on that as well. So until next time, really appreciate each and every one of you. Be well.